Glory to God, hallelujah, praise God forevermore. This is Everyday with Jesus podcast, where our lives are being transformed, nourished by the preaching of the word of God, hallelujah. And then today we're just going to continue our teaching on A City Set on a Hill. That's the title of the series presently on Everyday with Jesus broadcast, A City Set on a Hill. And then we've gone through a couple of things in this particular teaching. We just make progress today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. That's where we picked our text from. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. It says, "You are the light of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Hallelujah. So we've been emphasizing the place where we need to begin to shine as the light. And you know, that's the place of preaching the gospel, preaching the word of God. I've walked us through diverse places in the Bible where we see how that the gospel is referred to as the light. The word of God is the light. And then we saw the example of John the Baptist. The way John the Baptist shined and burned as the light in the world, or shined as a lamp in the world, was by bearing witness to the light, which is Christ. At John chapter 1, let's see that again in case you're joining this broadcast for the first time in this series. Or in case you've listened and you've forgotten, praise God. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious. Philippians chapter 3 verse 1. But for you, it is safe. In this case, for me to say the same things to you is not tedious. But for you, it is safe. John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. It was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Hallelujah. It says, John the Baptist came as a witness to the light. Now, Jesus referred to John the Baptist as a burning and shining lamp, and men were willing to rejoice in his light for a while, or for a moment. So, John the Baptist shined as the light by bearing witness to the person of Christ. And this is the same way you and I have been called to shine as the light. Because the true light ultimately is the person of Christ. Amen. Bible refers to him as the true light. Amen. We have light in him. We have life in him because of our faith in him. So you and I were once darkness. Ephesians in chapter 5. We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. We were delivered from the domain of darkness and from the power of darkness. We were brought into the kingdom of his dear son. So in that kingdom, we are now witnesses to the same light. And that is how to shine the light of Jesus. That is where to begin shining the light of Jesus. You know, because many times when people read the text, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven," their minds are about every other thing apart from the preaching of God's word. Now, of course, there are other good works, as we shall see today. But then, the place where we begin shining the light, it's in the place of bearing witness to the person of Christ. Glory to Jesus. So we shine as lights primarily by bearing witness to the light, which is Christ Jesus. We shine as lights primarily by bearing witness to the light, which is the person of Christ. We shine as the light by pointing men to the person of Christ, who is the light. Amen. So ultimately, this is the light that will draw men out of darkness. Praise God. Ultimately, this is the light that will draw men out of darkness. Cannot be banking on every other thing as a way to shine the light upon this dark world and then forget the very thing that will draw men out of darkness. Because ultimately, the light that will draw men out of darkness is the person of Christ. So we are to raise Jesus for the world to behold. We are to lift up the banner of his truth. Men come to the knowledge of that truth and they are drawn out of darkness and brought into light. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. This is so powerful. 1 Peter and chapter 2, verse 9. Bible says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So imagine that we were drawn out of darkness, we were called out of darkness, and we were brought into his marvelous light. Glory to God. And so Jesus has set us in the world as the light of the world, in the sense of us giving illumination to the world in order to draw them out of the same darkness. Amen. So you and I ought not to think that we're in this world just to shine before them and they admire us. No, the shining is to the end that men are delivered from the power of darkness, called out of darkness in the same manner in the which we were called out of darkness and brought into the light of the Son of God. Hallelujah. This is very important and essential to note. Glory to God. Because many Christians are so passionate about every other thing. And they are not passionate about the word of God, about preaching the proclamation of the word of God. They are so passionate about everything. Passionate about trying to just do good so that men can say, that's a Christian right there. And then they forget the very main thing that is meant to set the stage for every other kind of good work, which is the preaching of the word of God. Amen. The preaching of the gospel of Christ. So ultimately, the light that will draw men out of darkness is the knowledge of Christ. You know, many times people do not regard preaching the gospel as a work in the first place. Amen. Many times people do not regard the gospel as a work in the first place. So when they think about good works, their minds don't even go, revolve around preaching or teaching God's word or preaching the word of God, because the preaching of the word of God is not even regarded as work. Amen. So many folks do not regard preaching the gospel as a work in the first place, let alone regard it as a good work or as a good work we all have been called to do. You know, but something interesting in the book of Luke, see how Jesus described the preaching, or how he describes the preaching of the gospel. Glory to God. See how Jesus described and yet describes the preaching of the gospel, the work of ministry. You know, imagine, I already said the work of ministry. It's work. Amen. It's work. It's labor. Luke 10, and I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So he refers to ministers of the gospel, you and I, as laborers. Hallelujah. Laborers. In fact, the word labor there means to toil. It means to toil. It's serious work. So many times, people do not regard preaching the gospel as a work in the first place, let alone regard it as a good work we all have been called into. And you know, that's the reason why when they read a verse of the Bible, like Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, that says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, the preaching of the gospel does not even come to mind. Because to them, it is not one of the works we've been called to do. Glory to Jesus. Now, the Bible position is that the preaching of the gospel itself is a work. Hallelujah. And of course, it's a good work. Glory to God. The preaching of the gospel is a work and it's a good work. So you and I ought to have this in mind as we go about preaching the word of God. That, see, I'm doing the work of God. Glory to God. You know, Paul, in writing to the pastors, Timothy and Titus, he described the ministry of a pastor, the office of a pastor, in such a way that you can't look at it and say, well, that's not the work. Amen. You know, sometimes you see a pastor laboring and working, and then people say, all these pastors, jobless pastors. No, that's that's an oxymoron. Praise God. A pastor is already engaged with productive work. Amen. Now, it's not secular work. It is not working so you can make money. That's why pastors can also work with their own hands and, you know, make money for themselves. Praise God. But the idea of being a pastor itself is such that the man is already engaged in work, quality work. Work that will change the lives of men. So, of course, while ministry generally is the focus of this teaching, I'm just trying to borrow sense for us from some of the things that Paul said to these pastors and how he described the nature of their assignment. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Look at what Paul said to Timothy. Very powerful description of the office of ministry of the pastor. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. He says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." Amen. He desires what? A good work. The position of a bishop is a good work. Hallelujah. And then, you know, we saw this in Bible Truths Concerning the Local Church. Bishop here is just the word for pastor. In the early church, we have the word bishop elders used for pastors in those days. And the word pastor appears only once in the entire New Testament. Amen. That is, the word pastor appears just once. You find shepherd, which is the same also, used in other places. But you have the word pastor appear at Ephesians chapter 4. So bishop here is the work of a pastor. And Paul says, the man that desires the office of a bishop desires a good work. Amen. It is not idleness. It is not because you lack employment, so you quickly use the ministry, or you want to quickly use the ministry as a way to enrich yourself. No, it's a work on itself, work on its own. In fact, it is for men who are ready to work. I'm a pastor, I can tell you this for free. If you are not ready to put in the effort and to work and to labor, just drop the position and leave. Amen. Because the pastoral position or the office of a bishop requires serious labor and work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Titus chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Glory to God. Titus 2, 6 to 8. Bible says, "Likewise exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine." Now he begins to explain the good works. "In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." Hallelujah. Did you see that? "In all things, show yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, show incorruptibility." Amen. Because the work of the pastor is a work. Ministry is work. Amen. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 to 12, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some pastors and teachers, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of saints, for the work of ministry." So the ministry is a work. Amen. And it's a good work. So that's where we begin shining as the light for Jesus. Amen. So obviously the good works are more than one particular work. The good works are more than, you know, just preaching the gospel. However, you know, this is where preaching the gospel is where we begin doing good works as Christians. Glory to God. Look at it. Look at it from this angle. At Mark 16, Jesus was going to ascend from his disciples. And then Bible says he gave them instruction. Mark 16, verse 15, he says, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You know, Jesus didn't say go into the world and be philanthropist. Though they were expected to be generous and to be kind and to work in, you know, some charitable deeds, they were expected to do all that. But that was not the final charge or instruction. He says go into the world and preach to every creature. That was the only command. Amen. And then the moment Jesus was taken away from them, the moment he ascended from them, Bible says in verse 20, Mark 16, "And they went everywhere." Praise God. They went everywhere preaching the word. And, you know, the Lord was working with the word and confirming it with signs and wonders. So what they preoccupied themselves with was the preaching of the gospel. Because really, that is where to begin shining as the light. Amen. That is where to begin shining as the light. The account of Acts of Apostles puts it this way. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So imagine that. That was the final charge and the final instruction that Jesus gave to his church. So you and I cannot be thinking of shining as the light or shining the light for Jesus without us thinking about preaching the gospel to the world. Amen. Preaching the gospel to the world out there. That is where we begin shining as a light. So obviously, there are more good works to be done. But the gospel, the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel is where it begins. Listen, my friend, let nobody cajole you away from this truth. Let nobody confuse you away from this truth. Let nobody seduce you with enticing words of human wisdom. If you and I are to shine as the light of Jesus and shine as the light in this world and cause men to glorify the Father in heaven, then we must, you know, roll our sleeves and be ready to do the work of ministry. Be ready to preach the word of God. Hallelujah. That's the light of God in this dark and gloomy world. Glory to God. So there are different kinds of good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The word workmanship is from the Greek word poema. The word workmanship is from the Greek word poema. Poema is spelled P-O-I-E-M-A, which means product. Amen. Product. In the English, the word workmanship means the degree of skill by which something is done or by which a product is done. That's what it means in many contemporary dictionaries. But then in the Greek, the word just means a product. Amen. It also means that which has been made. It also means a work. Amen. So it says we are God's product. And what are we designed for? It says we are designed to do good works which God ordained before time that we should walk in them. Amen. So we are God's work designed for good works. Hallelujah. We are God's work designed for good works. Now, the nature of those good works is that they were before ordained or prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the nature of these good works. The nature of these good works is that they were ordained before time. Amen. They were prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So these are not good works we just come up with by ourselves. These are good works we find in the scriptures by way of instructions. Hallelujah. Things we are told to do as believers. Glory to God. So I don't just come on the scene to say, well, good works, what can I do for my community that will be good? No, they are good works prepared beforehand by God for us to walk in them. So they are to be discovered solely through the pages of the scriptures. What are the things you have been instructed to do? We find those things and we do them. And that's us, you know, doing the good works of Christ. And of course, this includes primarily the preaching of the gospel. So, but then we have plurality of works, good works, same with Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, good works, praise God. So obviously we have more than one work to do. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Colossians 1, 9 to 10. Bible says, for this reason, Colossians 1, 9 to 10, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled, or you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful in every good work. Amen. So again, we see in Paul's prayer for the Colossians that we ought to be fruitful in every good work. Again, we see in Paul's prayer for the Colossians that we ought to be fruitful in every good work. Not just in one work. Hallelujah. Not just in one particular work, but in every good work. So, but according to Paul, this would only be possible, this would only happen as we increase in the knowledge of God. Amen. So we are to be fruitful in every good work. That's good. But you know, he says we must first be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So this is not you running around trying to find out good works to do by yourself or based on your own initiative, based on your own innovations. Hallelujah. Based on your own innovation or creativity. No, it says you are to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Hallelujah. You have to be filled with the knowledge of God's will and spiritual understanding. The good works demand that the man is filled with the knowledge of God's will and spiritual understanding. The good works demand that you are knowledgeable in the word of God. Because these are works you find out through the pages of scriptures. You must find them out from the word of God. Hallelujah. These are works you find out from scriptures. They are instructions given to us. Glory to God. Now, what does that even suggest to you? Spiritual growth is so key. Amen. So the man that will do these good works must be a man that is ready to grow up in the faith, to grow up into Christ in all things. Look at this other place. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 to 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see again, every good work. Look at that phrase again. Every good work. So it's not just one work. We are to be equipped for every good work. So just the same way, at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, Paul says that it is as we are filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual and spiritual understanding that we are able to walk worthy of the Lord, and then we are able to become fruitful in every good work. It's the same thing Paul is saying at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. How that the man of God is equipped for every good work. You don't try to do it by yourself. You don't try to just figure out what is meant to be done. You are to be trained and taught and equipped for it. Amen. And then he says, this is done with the word of God, the scriptures. That is the essence of us learning the word of God. That's the essence of paying attention to the study of God's word. So we are equipped for every good work. Glory to God. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 to 14 also. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Again, you see that zealous for good works. You see good works, not just one. Hallelujah. You know, but at verse 11, it says, the grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men, and it is teaching us. Glory to God. It is nurturing us. It's not teaching us in the sense of giving us instructions or giving us sharp commands and laws, things to do. Or, you know, if you don't do it, then you're disqualified. No. The teaching there is a bringing up. Amen. It's grace bringing us up, maturing us. You know, just like Paul says at Acts of Apostles, chapter 20, verse 32, he says, so then, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So, the way grace teaches is by maturing the saints. It's by nurturing us up in the faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, when Paul says the grace of God is teaching us, what he meant was that the grace of God is maturing us. That's the word in the Greek that means to train up. That's the word paiduo in the Greek. P-A-I-D-E-U-O. P-A-I-D-E-U-O. Paiduo. And it means to train up like a child or to train up a child. It means to educate. It means to discipline. So it is not saying, don't do this, don't do that. And then you are left to your fate, whether you get it right or not. No, it trains you up. It matures you up to do what you are required to do. Glory to God. So, and you know, it's funny when people do not have patience to see Christians turn out to walk in the light they have received, to see Christians turn out to live like Jesus and walk like Jesus after embracing the knowledge of his grace, it is because they do not understand that the way grace teaches is not the same way as the law of Moses. Amen. Grace does not teach men by giving them do's and don'ts. Grace teaches by nourishing and maturing and nurturing and training up the children to behave the way they ought to behave. Hallelujah. So it's in that training and nurturing you turn out to gain strength. Amen. You turn out to find strength to be able to walk as you are required to walk as a Christian. Glory to God. So we are trained and built up and educated and disciplined for every good work. So we are zealous for good works, but then we are trained and matured to walk in those good works. Look at Hebrews also. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. Bible says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Let us consider one another in order to do what? To stir up love and good works. So there are good works for us to do. Amen. Not just one particular work, good works, different kinds of works. Amen. And then verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, even as you see the day approaching." So in our gatherings, we stir up love and good works. Amen. How do we do that? Through exhortations, through teaching, admonitions. Glory to God. Look at Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. So we are going to shine as the light when we proclaim the gospel, and then we are also going to work in other good works. But then all these other good works are meant to be a complement to the main thing. Glory to God. They are meant to be a complement to the main thing, because the main thing is about you and I bearing witness to the light of Christ. Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work, to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." He says, make you complete in every good work. You find it again. Every good work. It's there. Every good work. Hallelujah. Not just one particular work, but every good work. Because we have different kinds of works we have been called to do as believers. Amen. Amen. So the emphasis so far has been on where to begin doing the good works. Not that that is all there is to, you know, doing good works in Christ, but the beginning. Amen. That is where to begin. So just as it's heretical to say that believers can just think up any good works and any of the good works and begin to do them, and then, you know, they don't have to find out in scriptures, anything that comes to your mind, just do it as long as it is good and all of that. It's also going to be heretical to say that all the good works have to do with just preaching the gospel. Amen. I mean, it's powerful, it's beautiful, it's great having people preach the word of God, but the Bible does not teach that that is all there is to doing the good works. Glory to God. So we're going to have to consider every other good work, amen, in the next episode or next teaching. We'll have to examine other forms of good works that are taught in the New Testament. Amen. In the next episode or next teaching, we want to examine other forms of good works that are taught in the New Testament. Amen. Now that's one. Number two, we'd also have to properly investigate them and see how that without preaching the gospel, most of those works will not even stand us out in the world. Amen. So we're going to carefully examine other kinds of good works. And we're also going to properly investigate and see that without us preaching the gospel, or without the gospel being at the forefront of our activities or of our ministries, praise God, those good works, those other good works we want to do and we have been told to do, will not even stand us out in the world. That is, men will not necessarily look at us and connect us with Christ because of those works. If the preaching of the gospel is not seen as a major commitment and a major activity, you know, of the saints. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I bet you don't want to miss the next teaching. Praise God. So be here. And let's come and look at scriptures more carefully and more closely, and to see the importance of other good works, to see why the gospel must be at the forefront of our activities as believers. And I leave you with this charge again. Preach the gospel. Amen. Preach it. Be instant in season and out of season. The world out there is in darkness. The world out there is in darkness. Men are confused. Men are just groping in the dark. They don't even know what to do. They are confused. Men are in need of the light of the gospel of Christ. You and I have been given that light. Amen. We've been made the light of God. And we've been given the light of God's word. Let's go out there and tell men about Jesus and shine light upon their dark hearts. Praise God. I believe God for a massive harvest of souls through you and I in this generation. Praise God. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. And let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. And don't forget also to have a great day of being full of the Holy Ghost, full of prayer, full of spiritual songs, full of power, full of faith, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.